This hour of Spears and Ali on ESPN Tucson is brought to you by Tucson Federal Credit Union and the Volpe team at Nova Home Loans. Now back to Spears and Ali on 1490 AM, 94.9 HD Channel 4 ESPN Tucson.
What's going on? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to another edition of Spears and Ali on ESPN Tucson, presented by Tucson Federal Credit Union and the Volpe team at Nova Home Loans. I'm Justin Spears. Got a two-hour show for y'all today. Going to talk with Stanley Berryhill, Tucson native and current Detroit Lion at 725, and NBA draft expert Matt Babcock from Draft Digest. He was at the McDonald's All-American game last night. He'll talk to us about that, talk to us about Bronny James, and also Azulis Tubelis, the Arizona forward, kind of mulling over his decisions on whether to turn pro or stay at the University of Arizona.
Baby, come back.
We got the man, Ollie Farhang.
Maybe you want to play that song. I don't know why that came up to me. Yeah, man. What's up, buddy? Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning to you.
Happy hump day.
Happy hump day to you.
Happy National Piano Day.
It is.
Does every day have, like, does everything in this world have its own day?
100%.
It does.
National Bundt Cake Day.
Yeah. I can't wait for Thumbtack Day. Thumbtack Day's got to be on a Thursday. It just feels right.
Thumbtack Thursday?
Yeah.
March 2nd is also International Ali Day.
It is. It is. Celebrated around the world.
We celebrate it.
With the joy and laughter.
We celebrate it with what you always say, great jubilation. One thing I appreciate you, Ali, is that you've, even me as a writer, you would think my vocabulary should be at a high level. You've enhanced me in so many ways, and I can't thank you enough.
Oh, good. I feel very good about that. I'm all about enhancing without any side effects.
And speaking of enhancement, please be sure to that would have been a great segue into a male enhancement.
We used to have that.
We used to blue chew.
Yes, right.
Remember those?
That's right. Oddly, they gave samples, and the guy that is technically our boss, he's like, yeah, man, those ran out. Always. Weird.
Yeah.
Weird how
it's
that
funny
happened.
How they just randomly ran out.
Always ran out.
But I swear I didn't take them.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Wife really had a smile on her face all the time, though. It's good. It's good.
All right. So our plan for today.
7 o'clock in the morning.
Our plan for today, like I said, Stanley Berryhill, Matt Babcock will be joining us. Also later on in the show, we'll talk about Arizona's connections in the transfer portal. Maybe a couple of guys that could be joining the Arizona Wildcats. We'll also have an update on Kirk Risa and where he's at right now in his recruiting process. And Ali, you know, it's not a Spears and Ali unless we talk about some food, right? Or it's not a show with Spears without talking about some food.
Fair.
Let's be real.
That's the way to put it.
We were talking about Masters Champions dinner. Like, what would your menu look like?
Yeah. Yours was a smorgasbord. I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah.
You had like...
it's like Dave and Buster's at Augusta National.
You literally is like, I'll take one of everything on the menu. That was your your Masters menu.
we'll talk about the menu later on in the hour. At the start of the 8 o'clock hour, though, the Basketball Hall of Fame finalists were announced, or at least the big names were announced. They're going to announce the official class this Saturday during the Final Four. But, man, what an impressive list. We're talking about Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki, Greg Popovich, one of the greatest coaches of all time, Tony Parker, Becky Hammon, one of the greatest women's basketball players of all time, and our boy, Pau Gasol. What a great year for him, getting his jersey number retired by the Lakers and then now being inducted in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Great year for Pau.
You literally have your head coach and basically your starting five there. I mean, that's a heck of a team.
Absolutely. Also, Charles Barkley, Kevin Durant, the gift that keeps on giving, the beef that is. We'll also talk about different generations being sensitive. Charles Barkley was just on 60 Minutes and had some interesting things to say about Kevin Durant. And then we'll also have an update on Arizona Wildcats spring football. We had a chance to speak with Jacob Cowling and T-Mac yesterday, and also wide receivers coach Kevin Cummings. So we'll talk to, we'll discuss the latest with U of A football in the 8 o'clock hour. But let's get right into it. Top three headlines heading into today.
One.
Kevin Durant set to make his comeback today, Ali. The Phoenix Suns take on the Minnesota Timberwolves, and this will be the first game back for KD since he suffered that ankle injury a few weeks back during his home debut. Like, we were excited about watching Kevin Durant make his debut. The ticket prices for that game were super expensive. And during warmups, I mean, literally the Suns tweeted out the starting five graphic. They had Kevin Durant in it. And then 2 minutes later, Shams Charania, you get the update from him. Kevin Durant is out because of an ankle injury. He suffered it during warmups. And you saw the injury. I mean, it's a bad ankle injury. And you're like, man, this dude just can't seem to catch a break when it comes to the injury bug. So he was out for the last few weeks. Now he's coming back for the Phoenix Suns, set to make his home debut when they take on the Minnesota Timberwolves.
It was such an odd injury, and it looked like he did it like he's going to shoot like a last layup or a dunk before he went to the bench before pregame introductions. So,
yeah.
You know, word for the wise here, Phoenix Suns, keep Kevin Durant out of pregame warmups.
It was almost like Andrew showed me a video of comedian Tom Segura attempting to just do a dunk. They're like, all right, we're going to do a dunking contest. Can you dunk on a 9-foot hoop? And all Tom Segura did was a gather step. Ruptures his like patella tendon. And then in the process, as he's falling down, falls on his arm, which then breaks. So that's a twofer on injuries.
Is
right,
that
Andrew?
Related to former Philadelphia Philly Tony Segura?
No.
Okay.
At least not that I'm aware
of. Because if he was, then he'd have some athletic ability. I mean, what do you think about these Suns now with Kevin Durant? Based on the body of work that he's shown as being one of the greatest players in the NBA, do you think the Suns, with Devin Booker, who's been carrying them the last couple weeks, Chris Paul, who we would all agree from at least a offensive productivity perspective is diminished, and a Kevin Durant, do you think that they have enough to legitimately challenge for the NBA title?
Well, the one thing about Kevin Durant that makes him special and a kind of a unique piece for this Phoenix Suns team is his length and his ability to defend near the basket. Like, we're not talking about Kevin Durant being this ultimate rim protector, but when you have a guy like that with his wingspan and his length, and he's not a bad defensive player. Like, Kevin Durant's actually a well-rounded player. Having a guy like that next to DeAndre Ayton, you always want a Kevin Durant on your team. But when the Phoenix Suns made that move, they made that move planning ahead for the Denver Nuggets of the world, the Milwaukee Bucks of the world. Because think about the NBA Finals from a few years ago and how difficult it was to slow down Giannis Antetokounmpo. Even when they had a 2-0 lead, Giannis put on a superhero cape, and they had no answer for him. DeAndre Ayton, while we applaud him for being a consistent double-double guy, you can't trust him to guard Giannis Antetokounmpo. So you bring in a guy like Kevin Durant, who's a two-time champion, and say what you want about the whole joining the Golden State Warriors thing, he was a big asset for that team.
He was the best player on the team.
He was a two-time finals MVP. Yeah. They needed Kevin Durant. As much as KD needed the Golden State Warriors to get over the hump and become a champion, the Golden State Warriors needed that guy as well, and Kevin Durant delivered. So now that he's at this point of his career, you kind of feel like he's got a chip on his shoulder that he's ready to prove something. Hey, I don't need Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Steve Kerr in this system in order to win a championship. I could do it with a team that's got a budding star in Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. Like, I can lead these guys. I mean, nobody's denying that Kevin Durant's the best player on the team, but I think now that you add him to the mix, the Phoenix Suns championship window, it opens up. And yeah. I think, and the big reason why I think Kevin Durant fits in well with these guys is his ability to guard these bigger players like the Giannis's of the world.
We shall see. I'm not sure anybody can guard Giannis, but since you're Justin Twitter Spears, I mean, you're all over Twitter all the time. Did I see correctly? Did DeAndre Ayton go to the game yesterday or the day before in a luchador mask?
He did.
Incredible.
Yeah. It wasn't even like a – it looked like a luchador mask, but it was had like the same fabric as like a ski mask. It was like a beanie just put around his face.
All right.
He's
well,
an interesting guy.
He was warm. He's a very interesting dude.
But you talk about Devin Booker really carrying the team. Devin Booker has been the leading scorer for the Phoenix Suns in every single game since Kevin Durant put up 37 in the win over the Dallas Mavericks. Now, the thing, like I said, I'm paying attention to is how Kevin Durant can be effective defensively. We've seen him perform at a high level on the defensive end. But a lot of games this season for the Phoenix Suns, I mean, they lost to the Sacramento Kings, and they put up 127 points. Usually when you score 127 points in a game, you're normally winning. But they put up the Kings put up 135. So if they can get right defensively, I mean, there's no question that they could put up a bunch of points. They're scoring out of their mind right now, but can they make enough to stop the Giannises of the world? That's something I'm paying attention to. And not complain about the free throws. I'm getting tired of that. But
yeah. Stop but, shooting jump shots. You might get some
exactly.
More free
and maybe that will help out with Kevin Durant. I don't know. But I think Kevin Durant being added to this mix here, when healthy, I think the Phoenix Suns are the best team in the Western Conference, in my opinion.
Really?
I do.
Even with their supporting cast. Because, I mean, other than, you know, let's say their top three are Devin Booker, KD, and DeAndre Ayton, right? And you got like a 65% Chris Paul. Do you think their supporting cast is a bunch of 11th and 12th guys off the bench? Are you going to be able to play KD 40 minutes a game from here on out in the playoffs? Are you going to be able to can he stay healthy? Can Devin Booker sustain the same level of energy and effectiveness playing 40 minutes a game? It's going to be something to watch.
You're going to have to. You make a move for Kevin Durant because you're putting all your chips on the table because you see this being your championship window. Chris Paul's 38 years old. He's not getting any younger. Kevin Durant is not getting any younger. He's, what, 34? About to turn 35. Obviously injury prone. But when you have all these guys healthy, and that's the thing that makes me really like the Phoenix Suns, is that Chris Paul doesn't have to be that guy anymore. The guy who goes 14 for 14 in a playoff game in order for you to advance. You don't need that version of Chris Paul. Now, the Chris Paul that's going to be...
You're not getting it, so good thing.
You aren't getting it to begin with, but,
I mean,
but now, that's true, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
But now you have Chris Paul, who's been always that second guy. Second or third guy, and now we're talking about him being consistently the fourth guy.
Yeah.
That's an ideal situation for the Phoenix Suns. But going back to your point, like, yes, you punt your future away, right? But you got to do everything you can to win a championship. And if you ask any Phoenix Suns fan, they will tell you, no, we have to swing for the fences now. Screw the future. We're not talking about, you know, future draft picks and longevity and being a thing for a long time. We've been hunting that championship for a while now. We've come close many times. Now is an opportunity for us to get back in that driver's seat and finally get over the hump and win a championship. And you could do that with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, and Chris Paul, and DeAndre Ayton. Supporting cast does scare me a little bit, but, I mean, we've seen some good stuff out of Josh Okogie. We've seen some good stuff from time to time out of campaign, right? Bismack Biyombo was starting in place of DeAndre Ayton the other night, had a double-double against the Sixers. So these guys can step up, but you got to put all your chips on the table now for that championship, and the Phoenix Suns did.
Yeah,
and
I mean, it's still
and I'm happy to see
it's still possible, but you're gonna give me Denver and Memphis before the Suns, and but I think we're
people I don't are, trust I don't trust Memphis.
People are sleeping on Memphis, man. I'm just telling you.
I don't
you.
Trust Memphis.
Trust me. Trust me on Memphis.
Really?
Yep.
Big Dylan Brooks guy, huh?
Well, why you go right there? No, I think with Ja Morant back, Desmond Bane is playing good. Jackson, their big guy.
Jaren Jackson.
He's been playing. In fact, Ja being out, I think, has been actually a benefit to this team. And now that he's come back, I just think Memphis, it's like the whole incident with Ja Morant happened, and we just kind of wrote them off. But he's back, and they look really tough to me.
Lakers in seven. Okay. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's go to... You got to play it, Andrew. You got to play it. X-Files, there it is. Telling you what, man, they don't want to see the Lakers in the playoffs.
Right. Who does want to see the Lakers, man? Formidable in that ninth position in the Western Conference.
Right, let's
we'll
go.
See.
Let's go to headline number two. So some movement going on with the Arizona women's basketball team, Ali. I don't know if you saw this, but four Wildcats have declared for the WNBA draft. Now, some of these are expected because they're out of eligibility, right? Kate Reese, Shayna Pellington, and Jade LaVille. But one who's very surprising to me, Esmeri Martinez, the transfer from West Virginia.
You okay?
Sorry.
Strong stuff.
Had to clear my throat for this morning.
You swallow a ghost?
I did.
Yeah. It happens in this station.
All right. See
you,
Patrick.
Is that what they call it now?
Patrick Swayze, man. All right. So, Esmeri Martinez. We thought that she was going to come back, but she's declaring for the WNBA draft. Now she is leaving her options open. So I feel confident saying that she's going to be able to come back this upcoming season. But she actually posted on her Instagram page that she is graduating in May and still keeping her options open. She said, quote, "For that reason, I am declaring for the 2023 WNBA draft while retaining my college eligibility. I will also be entering the transfer portal and would like to maintain the option of returning to the University of Arizona for the upcoming season as well." And I feel so bad for Adia Barnes because she recruited Esmeri Martinez to Arizona out of the portal from West Virginia. And now she's got to almost double her recruitment on her because she's like, hey, don't go to the WNBA draft. Don't go into the transfer portal. Stay here. Just a, I think transfer portal is a great addition to college sports. If you don't, look at the Final Four right now and look at all the impactful players.
Yeah.
Like Matt Bradley would be stewing at terrible Cal right now if it wasn't for the transfer portal. Now he could lead San Diego State to its first ever national championship. I love the transfer portal. I love what it does for kids. However, I don't like the dimension that it adds for college coaches.
Yeah, I mean, it's a double-edged sword, right? You can bring some players in to complement the ones you have, but every year you have to re-recruit your players. I mean, every single year, which must just be mind-numbing for coaches, and I feel for them. But, you know, Esmeri Martinez, I know exactly what Adia Barnes is saying. It's like, yeah, you know what? Go look and see where you may land in the WNBA draft. And if it's good for you, we support you, move on. And if not, we have a place for you. But, you know, Adia Barnes, the cupboard is not bare. There are some outstanding players coming to Arizona next year. I expect maybe one, maybe two ads from the transfer portal. Arizona women's basketball is going to be crazy good next year.
We saw a couple of future Wildcats in Bray Cunningham and Jada Williams in the McDonald's All-American game last night. So they're pretty damn good.
Jada Williams has a sweet stroke, man. She can shoot the ball. Arizona fans have they should be very optimistic and very excited about the future of women's basketball. It's going to be a really good year next year.
Ari McDonald-esque? How would you describe how she plays?
She remind me a little bit, a shorter version, a guard version of the woman that plays for Maryland, Love.
Oh, are you talking about the one that transferred? The one that's
she plays at Maryland
now.
Yeah, now we played them.
I'm thinking of Angel Reese.
Her last name is Love. I can't remember her first name, but she's their best player.
Okay.
For some reason, a few clips I saw just reminded me a little bit of her.
She's pretty damn good. Well, Erin McDonald, one thing that she specialized in, I mean, she was a decent shooter, but she was also really good at getting to the basket.
Yeah.
And driving the lane.
I mean, Ari McDonald, it's hard to compare anybody to her. I mean, she's like the Tasmanian devil. I mean, she's just so active, both offensively and on the defensive end.
All right, let's go to headline number three.
Three.
It was a get-right game for the Arizona baseball team last night, beating GCU in walk-off fashion, all thanks to Emilio Corona, the transfer from the Pima Aztecs, hit an RBI single in the 10th inning, lifting Arizona over Grand Canyon. This was a gutted out type of game for the Wildcats because they had twice multi-run leads, and it looked like the Wildcats were going to have a run-of-the-mill type of victory, and GCU kept fighting back. And then they had a lead in the 9th inning. Arizona ties it up. They go into the 10th. Emilio Corona then hits the game-winning hit. But, man, it was such a gutted-out game for the Arizona Wildcats. But good news for them, man. They lost six in a row in Pac-12 play. They needed something to feel good about themselves, and they got it.
Yeah, and the player I was thinking about in Maryland, I don't know where I got Love from. Her name is Diamond Miller. Diamond Miller, yeah. So you guys were both, like, looking straight up in the air, like, who are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Go with that answer most of the time.
It's just because he loves her.
Yeah.
Well, also, Caleb Love in the transfer portal, the guard from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Arizona could be going after.
Well, interestingly, it looks like he's going to Louisville.
Is he really?
And if he goes to Louisville, that's really good for Arizona because I think Carter Bryant, that just pushes him here.
To reclassify? Because he's 24, right?
Yeah, he's 24, but, you know, maybe.
I mean 2024. Sorry,
because Caleb
he's not 24 years old.
Caleb Love's got more than 1 year of eligibility left, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
So, I don't know. Anyway, let's talk about Arizona baseball. Yes, get right win. Yes, great for Arizona baseball. I'm still concerned about the pitching and that, and especially the bullpen, and that showed itself again yesterday
again
with Arizona having the lead. And I don't know why people are so upset with Chip Hale with his comments after the ASU series, where he was, he said he's proud of his guys and the way they've handled themselves. And ASU's really tough, but we acted classy in a really tough environment with a lot of nasty things being said. I mean, does he want just a coach that's just burying his players in the press and mother bleeping them? I'm sure he was doing stuff behind closed doors, but man, people relax, man.
I know.
These kids these days, positive reinforcement works a lot better than just tearing them down, especially in a public venue. You do that behind closed doors.
You do tough love, but
behind closed doors.
Behind closed doors, yeah.
One of the funny, people lost their minds.
One of the funniest things ever was, you know, Jay Johnson's, compared to his players, a very he's a shorter person compared to the players that he coached at Arizona. They lost a game a few years back, and he was out there yelling at every single one, even the guy who was like 6'8". And seeing Jay Johnson sitting next to him was pretty funny. But I totally agree with you, Ali. I think that, you know, sometimes you just need to uplift these guys. And the Arizona's a very young team this year. They have a lot of new faces, a lot of guys who are new to college baseball.
Right.
I was more surprised than anything, because knowing Chip Hale and the kind of guy that he is, playing for Jerry Kendall, playing in the major leagues for a long time, coaching in the big leagues for a long time, to see that positive reinforcement, I'm like, it was a refreshing surprise.
Yeah.
Because a guy who, like I said, comes from that background, for him to take that approach was very refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it makes Arizona fans feel better if Chip Hale, like, basically emulated the scene from Bull Durham in the locker room, where he throws the bat rack and calls them a bunch of lollygaggers. You're lollygagging to first base. You're lollygagging to the plate. You're lollygagging in the outfield. You know what that makes you?
A lollygagger?
That's right.
Also, big...
Tell me you've seen that movie.
Bull Durham?
Yeah. You just, I mean, I'm going to slap you so sick.
I've seen a lot of great baseball movies.
Like what?
Rookie of the Year, The Rookie, Angels in the Outfield is one of my favorite ones. Bad News Bears, the older ones.
The Sandlot.
The actual Bad News Bears.
All right,
yes.
All right.
Benchwarmers.
You're getting better.
Okay.
Don't start with Rookie of the Year next time.
Okay.
Okay. You'll like Bull Durham.
Big tip of the cap, by the way, to Cesar Salazar, the former Arizona Wildcat catcher. He was named to the Houston Astros opening day roster.
Oh, how cool is that?
He is the 93rd Wildcat to play in the major leagues.
Amazing.
Good for Cesar. All right, coming up next on Spears and Ali, speaking of former Wildcats, Stanley Berryhill, former Arizona receiver and now Detroit Lion, calls in to talk about his rookie season in the NFL. And also what it's like to play for Dan Campbell. More Spears and Ali coming up next.
Spears.
Justin Spears, I like that.
And Ali.
I want to be entertaining, but I'm not stupid enough to compare myself to Ali.
We'll be right back on 1490 AM ESPN Tucson.
Ali, you'll appreciate this. This song isn't Risky Business. And I knew that without having Family Guy as kind of like the liaison.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's go next step. Did you watch Risky Business?
I did.
No, you did.
It's been
not
a long time, but yeah, I did.
Who's starring?
Tom Cruise.
Oh, my goodness. Look at you.
Make
look
a progress, baby.
Look at the growth. Yeah. keep going.
All right. Let's bring on our next guest, Stanley Berryhill, Tucson native and Detroit Lion, joining Spears and Ali on ESPN Radio. Stan, always good to hear from you. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you for joining us. And, man, you're just coming off your first season playing in the National Football League. And I'll never forget seeing this clip go viral, and you've shared it a couple of times, of you on the sideline talking to one of your teammates, and you're just so amazed by the talent level that is the NFL and pretty much how mistake-free you have to play in order to stick. Can you expand on those comments and what you took away from your first year in the NFL?
So that video, I mean, I didn't even know it was just a genuine conversation with St. Brown. I didn't even know that he was mic'd up or there was a recording. I go on my phone after the game, and my phone is just blowing up. Did you see the video of you on such and such? Did you see the video of you on such and such? And then I watched it, and I was like, man. No, but the NFL is crazy. It's very unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Everyone is so good. So just the top players from every college or every other league they have in the world, Canadian Football League, you got people from Division III colleges, Division I colleges. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, after 1 year in the NFL, just it's unreal. You'll never experience nothing like it. And I don't think I'll ever experience, like, something like my first year ever again, I don't think. It was a surreal experience, and I just can't wait to get after this next season.
Well, you talked about how the league is so unexpected. You joined the Atlanta Falcons as a free agent going into training camp, and you played for the Tucson Falcons growing up, so I know that meant a lot to you, but then you find yourself on the Detroit Lions. Talk to us about that middle period between the Falcons and the Lions, and how did you join Detroit?
Yeah, so I got cut from the Falcons after the last preseason game, during the last cut, so I barely missed making the team with them. And then I was out for about 3 weeks to a month. I didn't have a team. I was back in Tucson. I was on the brink of going to the CFL. I was talking to a team, had the contract and everything set up, and then I got a call from the Cardinals and asked if I could do a tryout the next week. So I went up to Phoenix, did the tryout. They signed me to their practice squad, and I was on the Cardinals for about a month until it was when D-Hop came back from suspension, and they also needed to sign a new kicker because the Cardinals kicker, I think, missed a field goal or something to win the game. So they cut me, and they told me that they were going to call me back. But before they even had a chance to call me back, as soon as I hit the waiver wire, I get a call at like maybe 5 p.m., 6 p.m. from the Detroit Lions asking if I could be on the red-eye flight to try out for them the next morning. So I was like, I'm not even going to wait around and see what happens with the Cardinals. I'm just going to take this chance. So I jump on the red-eye flight. Land in Detroit about 6:30 a.m., get picked up, go straight from the airport to getting physicals and going through all the medical paperwork, and then I tried out about 7. So I didn't really have much sleep because I was on the plane the whole night. And then after I tried out, they gave me a quick tour of the facility. They told me I made the team, and then I went into practice with the Lions that Wednesday at 1 p.m. So in that 24 hours, I had two practices with two different teams, got cut from a team, and then got signed to another team. Wow. So, I mean, it was like I said, unexpected. You never know what's going to happen. And I think just when I got that call from Detroit, I think I just knew like it was my opportunity to go make something happen. So that's kind of just how I looked at it, rather than just waiting around, seeing what's going to happen with the next team.
Stan, you know, I've heard a lot of players talk about when they finish college and they're about to enter the NFL draft or, you know, try to enter the NFL generally. You know, you're doing all kinds of things that have nothing to do with football. How fast can you run 40 yards? All kinds of agility drills. And they talk about there's a dramatic difference in preparing year two from year one because you can focus on football-related activities. Is there a dramatic difference, and do you feel more prepared now going into your second season in the NFL, being able to train, not for pro days, but to be a player in the NFL?
Yeah, I think this offseason is probably the most important. It's your first real offseason. Like my uncle and a couple mentors told me back in – like last May, like, you know, this is going to be the roughest year you've had. You went from playing a college season straight to going to combine training, straight from combine training to rookie mini camp, straight from rookie mini camp, so far, so on. So, yeah, I think having this off season is going to make a huge difference in the way I prepare and the difference of how ready I'm going to be going into this camp compared to last season's camp with the Falcons. I think you have to readjust your body into being a football player again after the combine. And I think that could be rough sometimes because you're training straight line speed. You're training on upper body strength. You're not training the things you do playing football. So I think just not having to worry about that and just being able to focus on learning the playbook and getting mental reps and going through the whole off-season program with an NFL team is going to pay great dividends by the time the season starts.
So we all watched Hard Knocks in the last year. You were with a different team when that happened. But, you know, if there's anything you took away from watching Hard Knocks is Dan Campbell's just pure passion for the game of football. How would you describe playing for a coach like Dan Campbell?
Coach Campbell is one of a kind. I mean, he knows every single person's name in the building. He's just a guy you want to play for, a guy you want to be around. He's a player's coach, and he doesn't sugarcoat anything, and he loves everyone around him, and it's just somebody you want to play for. Like, Coach Campbell talks with so much passion, and sometimes you think he's about to start crying. It's just because he cares so much, and he's a former player, so he's been through it, and a lot of coaches on that staff are also former players, so
yeah.
They understand what it takes to be in the NFL, so it's not like we're getting coached by someone who's never played before. So they understand what we're going through. They've been through it. So when you get a coach that's been through it and understands it, and they understand it, and they share their experience with you and determine on how they run things through their experiences, it makes it a little bit easier to play for him because he knows what you're going through, and he's been there. So. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look at the NFL nowadays, Stanley, and between yourself, Levi Wallace, most recently Blake Martinez, just a handful of Tucson natives having an impact in the NFL. Tucson's going to get another one in the league here very soon in Bijan Robinson, who we all know is going to be a first-round pick. I know that you're friends with Bijan. What can you tell us about the kind of player he is, and what are you expecting out of him at the next level?
Man, I expect nothing but great things coming from Bijan. Man, I know Bijan, we've known each other since we were kids. His aunt and my sister cheered together in high school, so we were always around each other. And ever since, I'm a couple years older than him, but ever since he's been like 9 or 10, everybody knew that Bijan was going to be special. And hopefully the Lions pick him up, but if not, I can't wait to see him play, and I can't wait to cheer him on because he's one of a kind, and any team he goes to, he's going to make an instant impact.
Stan, I'm curious, and I give you a lot of credit. As an undrafted free agent, it was very obvious that you understood the importance of special teams in order to make the roster of an NFL team. Is that something you were aware of while at the University of Arizona? Because I remember you were returning punts, you were a gunner. Is that something somebody told you while you were at school here, like, hey, get into special teams because that can help you stick in the league?
Yeah, I mean, when you hear from former players at U of A, a lot of them have a little bit harder route to play. So special teams is where they get on the field. Dane Cruikshank, after his first year, he had a Zoom FaceTime with the team, and he talked about special teams. And then he talked to Demetrius, and he talked about special teams. So it's a following trend, and then you hear coaches talk about it. When Fish came in, he talked about having our best players on special teams. And once I talked to Coach Powell at U of A, he was our special teams coach, and everything I just told him, like, I want to do whatever is going to give me the best opportunity to play in the league. I told him I love playing gunner. I could kick return. I could punt return. But I told him I want to be on everything. And if you go back and watch the first BYU game, I was on every single unit except for kick return. I was the backup returner. But, yeah, they told me that, and it just kind of sunk into my head, so I thought I need to get as much film as possible. So when NFL teams look at me, they know I could do more than just catch a ball.
Stanley Berryhill, Tucson native and Detroit Lion, joining Spears and Ali on ESPN at Tucson. Stan, thank you for your time, and best of luck moving forward as you get ready for year two in the NFL.
No problem. Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me.
Appreciate you,
Stan. Keep representing the 520.
All right. Don't go anywhere. More Spears and Ali coming up next. See, I do know pop culture references without Family Guy.
Dude, well done.
Well done.
Thank you. Miracles are possible.
I feel
1980 U.S. men's hockey team beats Russia. And Justin Spears comes up with a pop reference, pop culture reference that has nothing to do with Family Guy.
It's great.
Anything is possible.
Spears and Ali, weekday mornings, 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN Tucson, 1490 a.m., 94.9 HD Channel 4, and the Spears and Ali podcast.
Come join ESPN Tucson for the 12th annual Taste of Chocolate.
I can't believe you're still here, Justin. I figured right after you said the word off chocolate, you'd be jetting out of here.
You want to finish the read so I can go?
No, man.
Okay.
I think you're showing good restraint. Keep going.
Great willpower in this read right now. It's going down Sunday, April 16th from 2 till 4 p.m. at the Doubletree Reed Park Hotel. That's located on Alvernon. It's a chocolate competition, and you are the judge. Some say I'm the Simon Cowell of chocolate competitions. Local chefs will showcase their favorite chocolate creations, and you get to vote for your favorites. Actually, more like Paula Abdul, because I'm always saying yes. There will be a raffle with great prizes, along with wine tastings for a nominal fee. Tickets are just $15. Children under 4 are free with a paid adult. All proceeds benefit the Rincon Rotary Local Project, and that supports local teachers and businesses. You can bring your family and friends for a delicious, fun, and unique way to support our local youth. Get your tickets at ESPNTucson.com.
If you see a very handsome ginger guy with chocolate all over his ginger beard and on his shirt, dressed like Willy Wonka.
It's not Augustus
that
Gloop.
That is Justin Spears.
It's not Augustus Gloop. It's me.
Yeah.
It is me.
Yeah, you're going to be there.
I will. Oh, for sure. Come on. On a Sunday, too?
Oh,
come
no.
on, man.
Oh.
Sign me up. That day was created for me.
I heard Sundays are for chocolate.
Damn straight.
That's
right after you're done fighting the night before.
Oh, my goodness. This hour, we're giving away a pair of tickets to see a special screening for the movie Air. The movie created by Ben Affleck or directed by Ben Affleck, and it focuses on Nike, Michael Jordan, the story that is, and we're going to go see it. Spears and Ali will be out there, but if you want tickets for a special screening, I think it's April 4th, and it's going down at Elkhorn Mall at 7 p.m. People in attendance will also be participating in raffles for prizes provided by the Air promotional team. So it's cool. If you want tickets for this event, next segment, between 7:50 and 8 o'clock, we will be giving away a pair of those tickets.
We're going to that.
100%.
We're going to that movie. And, you know, I was listening to a podcast I like called Smartless. It's Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and Sean something.
Sean Penn?
No. Doesn't matter. He was in Will and Grace. But anyway, they had Ben Affleck and Matt Damon on. And Ben Affleck's like, we weren't going to do the movie unless we got Michael Jordan's permission. And, you know, it's because Michael Jordan has this brand and he's built this stature that unless he said it was okay, they were not going to do the movie. So he goes and meets with Mike and he's like, okay, Mike, we're going to do this movie. We won't do it without your permission. And Michael Jordan's like, yeah, that's fine. I want Viola Davis to play my mom. And Ben Affleck's like, Viola Davis is like one of the premier actors in all of Hollywood. I don't know if we can get her. I want Viola Davis as my mom. Playing Michael Jordan's mom in the movie is Viola Davis.
That's great. Also, I wonder, too, are they possibly trying to avoid a lawsuit with Michael Jordan? Like, in case Michael Jordan's not pleased with the movie and can find a loophole to sue them?
No. I mean, Michael Jordan, I'm sure, if they're going to use any of the Air Jordan logos, he's going to get compensated for that. Hollywood's really usually fairly good about that.
No doubt. All right, speaking of basketball, do you see what's going on with Kerr Creasa?
He's in Nebraska yesterday, right?
Visiting the Nebraska Cornhuskers, the former Arizona point guard who led the Pac-12 in assists the last two seasons. He's in the portal, and one would assume, and that guy's me, that Kerr Creasa is going to Xavier to reunite with Shawn Miller.
I don't see it.
Not so fast.
I don't see it.
I mean, the schools that he's visited so far, Bob Huggins in West Virginia. I would love to see a conversation between Bob Huggins and Kerr Creasa on a basketball court. But now you got West Virginia and Nebraska both going after Kirk Creasa. Very interesting schools going after Creasa. And Arizona fans yesterday were like, why is this guy visiting worse schools? Well, let me inform you something about the transfer portal. Good players go into it, and teams that are maybe bad or want to improve their roster, they then go after these players.
Yeah.
So, hate to break it to you, but yeah, these are the kind of schools that are going to be going after Kirk Creasa.
Well, that
he's not going to UCLA or Michigan State or any of these other big time schools. He's going to go to the Hufflepuff of college basketball, wherever that is.
Yeah, and they're the highest bidder. Whoever pays him the most money is where he's going. I mean, can we just be direct about it?
Sure.
That's what's going to happen. And
Nebraska, man.
Nebraska, yeah. I mean, look, I'm not sure they've got the most. They're going to give him the highest offer based on his gift bag when he walked in. I mean, they had a picture of Kirk Creasa in a Nebraska jersey and something else, and then like a bunch of Cheetos, Sour Patch Kids. Like it was like a smorgasbord of grab everything off the front two rows of the 7-Eleven, put it in a bag.
Sign me up.
Put a picture of Kirk Creasa on it. Yeah. Anyway, I expect him. Nebraska might be a good fit for him.
Kerr's corn.
A lot less, yeah, I mean, a lot less light, right? The exposure is not as big with Nebraska basketball. And he brings maybe an energy to that program that they haven't had for ever.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I was checking my watch. Yeah, ever. That's what time it was.
Name one Nebraska NBA player.
Yeah.
But name one, like, prominent Nebraska basketball player of all time. You can't. The only connection I have to Nebraska basketball, Ali, is that Keanu Pinder somewhat considered them. The Kern Huskers.
I like that.
I like that, Andrew.
Huskers, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see where the tour takes him, but I can definitely see him stopping the roadshow at Nebraska in Lincoln.
So let's say you're on a recruiting visit. What's something that you're looking for in just facilities, anything? Like, what would win you over, ultimately, if you put yourself in Kirk Creasa's shoes?
52-year-old Ali or 20-year-old Ali?
20-year-old Ali.
20-year-old Ali, I am like, what does the campus look like?
The scenery, huh?
What is, how much love am I getting?
Okay.
I'm still thinking about my fit. Am I starting? I'm definitely starting. And what kind of, in today's environment, what kind of check am I getting?
Now, for Arizona's sake, or for Arizona's current situation, they got to replace Courtney Ramey, Kirk Creasa, Cedric Henderson, and maybe Azulis Tubelis. They've been tied to a couple of guys recently. Apparently TJ Bamba from Washington State, who was a Cougars leading scorer last year, he's on the market right now.
Yeah, he would fit great.
He could be the Courtney Ramey role.
He's better than Courtney Ramey.
Well,
big
news for Arizona.
No disrespect.
With all due respect.
Yeah. With all due respect.
Let me say something he's borderline better. Disrespectful. But, I mean, it's not disrespectful. TJ Bamba's a really good player.
He's really good.
And he's being recruited by literally every school under the sun. Yeah. I've seen so many updates. TJ Bamba recruited by this school. I'm like, okay, guys, he's being recruited by a lot of schools. Let's just see where he goes.
Yeah.
Caleb Love from North Carolina was recruited by Arizona assistant coach Steve Robinson. So a lot of people are linking those two together, but you told me earlier this hour that he's going to Louisville, apparently.
Well, I said all indications are that Louisville is the leading contender for his services, which in a very odd way, because he has multiple years of eligibility left, could help Arizona secure Carter Bryant, the five-star recruit that basically got Arizona-Louisville as final two. So that might actually be a good thing if Caleb Love goes to Louisville. But there's a lot of great players. I mean, if Azulis Tubelis leaves, I mean, one of the guys that could replace him and who I was in very impressed with in the tournament is the big guy for Princeton.
Oh, Tosan Ubumwe?
That guy would fit in great at Arizona if Azulis Tubelis leaves. But right now, I think there is a little over 300 players in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
So Arizona, this is a process where, you know, it's like be quick but don't hurry in the immortal words of John Wooden. You want to choose the right person and then the right basketball player in concert together, because you don't want to bring somebody in that's going to disrupt the chemistry of the team. You also want to communicate with the guys on the team of who you're bringing in and what it may take to bring them in, so everything is transparent and everybody feels like they're part of the process. Because last thing you want to do is bring somebody in, and then somebody on the team, like Kylan Boswell, is like, well, what does this mean for me? Why did you bring in this person? You got Kylan Boswell, Pelle Larsen, and Umar Ballo. That's going to be the core three for Arizona if Azulis Tubelis doesn't come back. So who can you bring to complement those guys, build our depth a little bit, in addition to developing the players that are on the roster now, like Henry Vassar and Dylan Anderson? So Arizona's basketball's got some work cut out for them, but if they make the right moves, and if Tommy Lloyd has showed us anything, is he makes really astute moves when it comes to the transfer portal. This could be a very, very exciting time for men's basketball, just like it's going to be for women's basketball next year.
All right, we're giving away a pair of tickets to a special screening for the movie Air coming up next. By the way, just discovered, I was wondering why people were talking about that Tosun guy from Princeton being in the transfer portal. I'm like, guys, he still needs a game to play. Why are we talking about him in the transfer portal? Come to find out, you can't be a graduate player in the Ivy League.
No, you can't play a fifth year.
So a lot of these guys were like, yeah, we're going to the portal after this year.
It's either the NBA. Crazy. It's the NBA or the portal. And so a lot of these guys, they need to play in the portal. So you've seen a couple of Princeton guys go in the portal.
Man, you go to a more of a basketball school and you get an Ivy League degree?
That's not bad, man.
Not bad at all.
Sign me up.
Not a bad gig.
Yeah.
All right, those tickets to go see Air, we're giving them away coming up next. Stay tuned. More Spears and Ali right here
on
ESPN.
Still on the waiting list at Yale, Justin. I'm still waiting.
Spears.
Justin Spears, I like that.
And Ali.
I want to be entertaining, but I'm not stupid enough to compare myself to Ali.
We'll be right back on 1490 AM ESPN Tucson.
Is it national or international piano day? Whatever.
No
it's
clue.
Piano day. And we're celebrating it. Who is the best piano player? Like, if you were to choose any artist of all time to play piano at a special event that you're hosting, who are you picking? And why is it Stevie Wonder?
Okay.
Are you going dead or alive?
No.
Dead or alive, yeah. Oh, you're going classical.
Are they singing too, or is it just, am I doing it just for the piano?
Just for the piano, which kind of takes out Stevie Wonder.
Why?
Because his voice goes along with the piano.
I don't know. I mean, Beethoven?
Beethoven.
Mozart.
Mozart?
Yeah.
Bach, is he a piano guy?
No, that's what happens when the catcher uses his mask to get the ball when it hits the ground. It's called a catcher's Bach.
All right, now it's the time to give away a pair of tickets to a special screening for the movie Air. Call in at 719-1490. 719-1490. Let's do caller number one. First caller at 719-1490 will get tickets for the movie Air, this special screening happening on April 4th at Century Elkhorn. So call right now. These tickets are set for 7 p.m. on April 4th. So if you want these tickets, call in 719-1490 and get them today.
It's going to be muy divertido.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to watching that movie. We're going to get a date, guys. We're going to all go together. And
bro date.
I'm looking, yeah, bro date.
Bro seats date. Between us?
Wow, look at you. Look at you.
So one of my favorite promos of all time, like Spears and Ali, insecure about her masculinity. Ali, we're talking about Masters dinners. If you were the champion of the Masters and you have the dinner, what's on your menu? My appetizers, mini chicken sandwiches, honey chili chicken wings, buffalo chicken dip with sourdough bread chips, Southwest style salad. The entree, tri-tip with is it chimichurri sauce? I don't know how to pronounce it.
I don't know.
That green stuff that you put on tri-tip.
Did you Google classy dinners and you're like, oh, tri-tip with chimichurri sauce?
I've had it.
You have?
Many times.
All right.
It's amazing.
Where?
Charro, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mac and cheese and Brussels sprouts with bacon, dessert, deep dish chocolate chip pizookie with ice cream.
Yeah,
deep dish.
I didn't think we were gonna have any time for the rest of the show once Justin started doing his menu, but that menu adequately describes you. We'll have my mom's Persian food, and the guys will be happy.
Yeah, we will.
A nice tadik with some stew on it. Ah, delicious.
Good stuff right there,
yeah.
Man. All right, I'm salivating. It's time for food. Hour number two coming up next. Do you want Spears and Ali unchained, unfiltered, uncensored? If you like the live show on ESPN Tucson, 1490 AM, 94.9 HD, Channel 4, and the ESPN Tucson mobile app, then you'll love Spears and Ali Overtime, where we discuss sports, culture, movies.
And enough with the gratuitous cussing, Justin. I mean, you don't have to always use words like and go yourself.
It's Spears and Ali Overtime. Subscribe, rate, and comment on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.